is this track section clear at this time? So most frames would affect that, that they're either on the track network at that time or they're not. But in practice, they only need to talk about the one that they, the track sections and time points that their schedule forces to direct.
And so, if we have a few seconds, I have one more question. So there seems to be clearly a little memory in our DCF.
Yeah.
How would the memory profile of your algorithm look?
It's tiny. All of these things just run and this was run on my 12 gigabyte machine, I think. So that's when CPX got low.
Hi, so I'm going to be talking about capability models and their applications in planning. This work is actually done by Yu Zhang, who is my postdoc, and Sharad Sridharan, who is a graduate student. I'm just a lowly third author, except these two guys had visa issues. So it turned out that I got to come to my first ever IMS, which from all the looks of it is a very beautiful conference. And so those of you who are advisors and keep thinking that you never get to give talks, it is possible, you know, if your students don't get your visas. So pigs actually can fly and you also get to give talks. But these are actually diving pigs from China, today's news, in case you are watching, looking at New York Times. Anyway, so I am going to be talking about capability models in planning. So as a context, actually, we have been looking at planning with humans in the loop. The moment you have humans in the loop and there's a planner, either on a robot or something else, it's already a multi-agent scenario. So we've been looking at the challenges in that sort of a planning. There's been some work, of course, in AI before, and it's kind of in planning before, and it's coming back now. We actually just did a tutorial on the directions human in the loop planning and decision support at IIII. Specifically in the context of human robot teaming, if you have the model of the human, that you, the robot, have a model of the human in the loop, then you can use that, for example, to do proactive help, you can get out of the way, you can do all sorts of things if you have the model of the other agent. And you can also, of course, generate joint plans. So this was actually an IRA 2014 paper where we were using the robot uses the model of the human as well as their goals to actually figure out and get out of the way or be very helpful and so on. So this is all well and good, nice stuff. So the question, of course, is how do we get the human models? So of course, if you have talking about the robot's own action models, presumably somebody writes it down. But in the case of humans, what are we going to do? That's where actually we get into this talk. Typically, multi-agent planning methods assume that all agents have basically similar models, more or less identical models, and all agents, let's say, for example, have STRIPS models, and there's a lot of work on multi-agent planning with STRIPS models. This, I believe, is unreasonable to expect, in the sense of having, that robot will have like a STRIPS action model of the human in the loop. That seems somewhat of a hard thing to expect. But again, as we know, we always tend to approximate problems rather than the solution. So this is the way, in fact, in the IRAS paper, we actually just assume that we have been given like a sort of an approximate action model of the human. So we are sort of doing repentance for that, and we are actually looking now into what are more reasonable models of humans that we should be actually reasoning about. So how do we represent and handle human models? And in particular, humans' models from the robot's point of view are likely to be highly incomplete. You're likely to have much less of an idea of what humans are capable of. Humans themselves are probably not very aware of their own capabilities, but certainly the robot in the loop is going to have much less of an understanding. So challenges in learning incomplete human models, how do we handle this? One temptation is to just go with complete models and then make them incomplete. This is like the first thing that we'll try to do. So for example, we can actually consider STRIPS or RDDL or HDN models and make them incomplete. So we in fact have done some work on taking STRIPS models and making them incomplete by considering possible preconditions and effects. While that exists, I think it still is the case that these kinds of models, unless somebody is handwriting them, they're hard to learn from observations. And human models, from the robot's point of view, are likely to have to be learned. You need to handle significant incompleteness in observations of the human's behavior. Some of this incompleteness has been handled, of course, in our own work. We, for example, looked at what if the states that you see the human going through, those are all partially observed, and how do you learn the action models for the human in the loop, at the other agent. But I think a bigger thing, which actually we are focusing in this talk, is what if there are indefinite gaps in the observations? This is the sort of thing that might happen where you will get observation of what the human did at some point of time, and then sometime later you'll know exactly what they have done, and sometime later you know what they have done. And given this partial, gap-based observations, how do you, what sort of models can we learn from them? So we wanted to start, so that finally gets us to capability models. We wanted to start with action models that are ground up incomplete, rather than start with a complete model and make it incomplete, okay? So intuitively, it's sort of reasonable to assume that if you have a human in the loop, at least when we are talking about other agent, we think that they have a certain capability, and then they have basically, we don't particularly care about the exact details. We may not have the exact details with which that capability would actually be achieved by that agent, but that's enough for us to reason about what can we delegate, what can we expect from the other agent. So that's what we wanted to sort of formalize. So a capability then would be sort of a guarantee that, sort of a probabilistic guarantee that if certain things are holding currently, eventually certain other things will hold. Eventually, it's not exactly next step. If you say next step, that basically becomes the usual probabilistic planning model such as RDDL. Here we have like a indefinite gap. So for example, if you have water and you have coffee beans, then you can, for example, go through individual state transitions. Or if you have gaps, then basically you will start saying if you have water, then eventually and you have coffee beans, you will eventually have coffee. Exactly the specific steps that you go through, I don't know, but there is some probability that you will have the ability to make coffee if you have this, okay? So that's the kind of view of capabilities. So the way in the paper, the way we actually formalize this is as a generalization of the 2TBN model, two time slice dynamic based network model, which actually is also one of the probabilistic planning languages that's currently used, RDDL. The difference for us is basically in the case of RDDL, it is before the action, right after the action. Here, currently, eventually being an indefinite horizon. Okay, so then there is a sort of a this idea has some weak, imperfect analogies to a bunch of other things. So in fact, in the paper, we spend a lot of time explaining in what ways it is connected and what ways it's different. One particular thing some of you might be thinking about is these HTL models, where it's like I have an abstract task, and then the concrete way of actually making that task might wind up being indefinitely long, even though not necessarily infinitely long. That analogy is sort of still not complete, but there is a connection between that and this kind of capability models. So we can actually formalize this in terms as that a sort of a Bayes network, a dynamic Bayes network, and then we call this capability model. Capability itself is essentially any conditional query on the eventual variable given the initial variables. So unlike, this is one place where the HTN differs from this here. There are not necessarily any named actions being seen. All I know is when you are acting, the world is changing. And I just basically try to figure out from that these are the things that you're able to achieve, okay? So it's sort of any conditional query that I can ask is a capability, okay? So then, of course, if the question becomes, how do we learn these kinds of models and how do we use them in planning? That's the thing that I'll try to do in the next very few minutes. So in the case of learning, this is basically learning Bayes networks. the model structure becomes, if you have, it depends on how incomplete is your model of the human. If you have some information about correlations between the state variables or some information about causal relations, you could then put that into the topology. If not, you can always start with sort of a complete topology, and then basically then you need a lot more traces to figure out the correct probabilities in the network. The other aspect is that whatever topology you start from, setting the parameters, that's just basically Bayes network parameter learning. And then in the paper, we actually just look at how to do this using a beta prior. One particular thing is basically the expectation here is we are getting these traces with gaps. That means you're looking at state traces which have been observed with arbitrary gaps between them, and from them then basically every pair of states in the state trace can then become an example trace for your learning. Okay, so that's regarding how to get the model. In terms of using it, there are two different ways we can use this. One, of course, if I know that, if I, the robot, know the human has a capability model, I can use that, I can simulate what the human can do under certain conditions. Are they able to reach a certain goal? That would involve essentially sequencing the capabilities. It's sort of roughly but like planning, but it's much simpler because there is no direct interactions that are being handled here. The second, of course, is the robot can actually try to do joint planning with its own actions being full actions and the human's actions being capabilities. Both of them are discussed in the paper. In the context of a single action scenario, essentially, so the interesting thing is that, remember that since each capability is basically a T horizon model. So sometimes actually, for example, to deliver the package, it may be able to do it with just one capability, or it can increase the probability by sequencing two capabilities together. This is something that is possible because essentially, and that's where the probability, the planning aspects come in. And the question of course then is, how many of these different sequencings are you going to consider? We provide a sort of an A-star-like algorithm essentially sort of a heuristic provided in terms of the probabilities connected with the capabilities to do that more efficiently. Okay, and then in the context of multi-agent planning, about the only thing I'll say is that that same heuristic that we have for single-agent planning can be generalized. Here, essentially, you will combine both sort of a relaxed plan style heuristic for the robot because it has the full action information and the kind of heuristic that I mentioned in the single-agent planning for the human part of the action. Okay, so that's about the multi-agent planning aspects. In conclusion, we basically were motivated by trying to come up with an inherently incomplete model for the other agent's capabilities. And that sort of comes approximately like having just the high-level abstract tasks, but nothing below that in an HTML type model, except as I mentioned during the talk, in fact, we don't have any notion of the task directly. We only have this ability of going from one state of affairs to another state of affairs. And then we discussed how we could do learning and planning there. The paper actually has some preliminary evaluation in like a small domain, but that's just the beginning of it. Our hope is really to try and do the human robot teaming stuff that we have done earlier, where we just assume that the human model was complete action model. Instead, we want to use these incomplete models. Okay, that's basically where I'm going to stop. And if there are any questions, I'm able to answer. Thank you.
The
robot, yes, yeah.
The robot. Mm-hmm. So then, depending on, like, you don't really know what actions the robot will be doing.
So the game that we're playing actually in human robot teaming is a robot tries to help the human without knowing how to completely control how the human thinks. Okay. So the joint plan is generated by the robot in this previous slide, you know, where it is essentially assuming that for the human to use a particular capability, I need to make a certain set of state variables true. So that's what the robot will do, and then the human will take from there, go on, take on from there. Now, as to whether the human in the loop will actually do that or not is, you know, is anybody's guess. You know.
So I think we have capability models, the propositions there, they don't depend on the actions of the human. State propositions.
There's completely state. So in fact, there is no notion of action. So in fact, we went out of our way to not mention actions, because you don't observe actions, you observe state sequences and with gaps. Okay, so it is the case that it's in fact state variables. Yes.
So that leads me to another question, but you can ask first.
Yes.
I
really like to hear this. Have you considered like using
So first of all, so first of all, I mean, there is the notion of, so if you kind of try to connect this to the, you know, this is a factored model. If you try to connect it to the MDP sort of a thing, it will wind up becoming an SMDP sort of a thing, where basically you have an indefinite extent. We haven't really directly connected to any specific temporal planning thing. But in essence, we are actually, I mean, HTN planning itself generally, for example, has this notion of, you know, some of the characteristics of temporal planning, and that will come here too. We haven't directly just compiled it into temporal planning. I don't think that's necessarily possible either.
Probably not when I'm just trying with probabilistic planning.
Yeah, that's one thing. The other is, as I said, you know, I'm using the HTN as an analogical crutch and throwing it out, right? Because I don't actually have actions. You know, I only am basically looking at, you know, looking at the state variables and how they evolve.
So, but it seems to be that you are not disentangling things that would happen naturally in the environment from things that are actually caused by.
That is true. That is true. So currently, in fact, I mean, the way we are, you know, learning the model itself, of course, you know, we are assuming that the human is, so whatever I'm seeing is being done by the human. So there is an entire set of, if there are 15 agents working together, how do I learn the models of all 15 agents? We're just starting with one human. Okay. So that's, but I think there are some possible, you know, solutions for that in general, and that can be adapted. Thank you.
Work about